All right. So, Minister of Education Adamu Adamu says government has offered increase of salaries of ASU members and that of Professor Kedar in the federal universities. Well, he said this in Abuja. This was basically after a meeting that was held between the government and management of universities across the country. So he says this, 50 billion was promised in the 2023 budget as funds for revitalization of federal universities. Then there was a 23.5% salary increase for workforce, and then for the professorial level, 35% upward review. He said ASU rejected it and described it as inadequate. So the meeting was between pro-chancellors, vice chancellors, chairman of councils of universities across the country. And this has generated a lot of questions. People are wondering, asking, what could be the meaning of this? And on the program this morning, the big question we're asking is if the problem is between the federal government and ASU because of some sort of agreement, why isn't this meeting between the government and ASU? Remember, the ASU chairman has said that they've been waiting. After the last meeting and the agreement that was supposed to be approved, they'll be waiting to hear, okay, are you approving or not? What should be, you know, what are we giving, what are we taking, what are we removing? But then they didn't get that response as urgent, as timely as they would. And now we're hearing the government meeting with chancellors, pro-chancellors, and management boards of universities. So if the problem is with ASU, why is the government meeting the management of universities? That's a big question. We have a poll. We have the question up on social media, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook. So you can go look at it and tell us what your thoughts are and what you think about the meeting between the government and VCs. A committee was also set up, a tactical committee, to review no work, no pay policy, the stance against ASU by the federal government, and how that will play out. We're waiting to see, because remember, ASU had said, if there's no work, no pay, what you're telling us then means that we cannot do, we're going to do no pay, no work. Exactly, because if we resume, we are going to have to go back to what we have left. It's not like we're going to abandon it. So if you're not going to pay us for that, then I think we might as well just move ahead from where we resumed. Well, the standoff has continued. It's over 6 months now. When will it end? My guest today on the show is a lecturer himself, in fact, a professor from Ignatius Ajuri University of Education, Professor Kenneth Nweke. Good morning, Prof. You're welcome.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Nigerian.
Quickly, Prof, let's just cut to the chase and get straight to the meat of the whole conversation. The meeting between the government and management of universities, VCs, pro-chancellors, can you, as a Nigerian, from the perspective of a Nigerian, of course, what do you make of that strategy by the government?
Well, of course, first of all, you should understand that the vice-chancellors of universities are first members of the union, of first lecturers, and their teacher, university teachers, before being appointed as administrative head. But that may not be the case with a pro-chancellor. You can get anybody to be a pro-chancellor, to be appointed a pro-chancellor. And of course, if anyone is appointed as a pro-chancellor, you will need to understand the workings of the university system with time. And then, given the fact that the vice-chancellors run these institutions, they understand better what the union are asking for. So, for federal government to convey such meetings, high-caliber meetings, so to say, with these ones, means that they are really going into finding a lasting solution to the problem, even though the union wasn't represented in that meeting. But keep it or leave it, the vice-chancellors, co-chancellors understand the peculiarities of the individual universities, even if they are coming as a group to make demand.
So, Prof.
And I think that okay.
So, Prof. The conversation, let's say, public space, the ideas on social media, when you look at the reactions, some people are of the opinion that perhaps the government is seeking for a backdoor around this, and perhaps we might see these chancellors already. We know that some state universities have refused to be part of the strike. Some have withdrew from the strike. This meeting, is it possible that we might see some directives from vice chancellors saying academic activities should resume? Do they have such powers?
Of course, they do, because they run their institutions. And they do, but again, it's not about whether they do or they do not. Of course, the strike was not called by the vice chancellor.
Exactly.
So, they're wrong.
So why is the government meeting the vice chancellors?
No, I do not understand one thing. That federal government means whether anybody calls it going behind to meet them, looking for solutions, and these are major stakeholders. Populated, even if there's a resolution. You know, to this effect. Of course, who will be implement this resolution? It's very bad chancellors we are talking about. And so it is better to, you know, to discuss the vice chancellors. Okay, even the details of these agreements that we are hearing and maybe the details of these discussions or conversations that you are hearing in the media. Did you get them before now? Well, because the meeting had advanced to this stage where vice chancellors and co-chancellors have advanced into this meeting to find a lasting solution to this problem. And so they are implementing the body, so to say, even if the federal government agrees. So even if you agree and then the chose to implement in terms of the workings and every other thing, details, payments and all that, and then they just also they are not in line on tune with whatever agreement. So how do you expect that to be implemented? So I believe even with the discussion with federal government, the vice chancellor of these institutions, you know, can excuse the pro chancellor, you know, all to be in those meetings, you know, because they are the ones that, you know, are also wearing the suit. They know where they are. The union members are also, you know, feeling the impact of what is going on and all that. And so, like I said to you, that first, a best chancellor is the member of the union. So even if today when you appointed a vice chancellor, you have just taken yourself probably away because you are now in management or whatever. You know, you want to be in alliance with those who appointed you and all that. And so for best, you are a member of ASU. And so meeting them, you know, and then trying to look at how to solve this problem. You say, finally, I thought about, well, maybe late. Okay, not timely, I won't say it's timely, but that it is imperative that this is also coming at this point so that all our countries, including the managers of these institutions, will be in the knowledge of what is happening or even so far some sort of solution to the lingering crisis.
All right, Prof. Another concern that's been raised. There was something that was said by the Minister of Education, Adamu Adamu, with regards to salary increase. Now, it's confusing for many people because prior to this time, we've had what was said by the Minister of Labour and Employment saying ASU went and sat down, held meeting, decided their own salary structure by themselves and submitted. What he was basically saying was that cannot be looked into. Now, we're hearing the Minister of Education saying that this increase was done and that percentage was given and done, and then ASU rejected it. So do we even have some... It becomes confusing. Who do we believe? Between the Minister of Education or the Minister of Labour and Employment, and then ASU on the other hand, who has said that their demands have not even been met?
See, Andrew, let me even start from this note. I was standing before the U.S. Immigration officer. Two lecturers from the University of Calabar, two young female lecturers standing before them. And they asked them how much their salaries were. It was shocking that when they said it and all that, the next thing was to bounce them, you know, reduce them bigger. Clearly, before me.
They did so what? Prof, we didn't get that.
Yes. You should get that, Andy.
No, we didn't hear you clearly. You said they did what?
I said, listen to me clearly. I want to start from this note. That I was in the U.S. Embassy one of the days for visa. Mm-hmm. And two female, young female lecturers from the University of Alabama, federal of course. We are before the immigration officer for clearance for visa. And they were asked how much salary that they took or they were taking. And once they mentioned that they didn't go for that, the next thing was to reduce them visa. You don't understand, you know, when people talk about the issue of you know, some disagreements over fee or no fee and all that, and when you stand before before the international community, you are even in the country where you are reduced. You are not seen as a nobody. And these three young females were seen because they had mega salaries, they earned mega salaries, and for them they believe that if they found themselves in the U.S., of course they would not have no reason to come back. Because there's nothing that just some strong economic ties, you know, that will bring them back to Nigeria. What am I saying in effect? Is that when you see a situation where the labor minister comes with his own ranting, and then the minister of education, you know, ordinarily they also harmonize, you know, come together as a government to discuss the issues. You know, with ASIC. Yes, granted that the issues are further within labor, they are labor related issues and all that. Mayor, the Minister of Labor, must be there. But who should take the lead in terms of this discussion would be, because it has to do with remuneration or condition of service and all that. And then, yeah, just talking about end allowances, talking about the funding and all that. Then the Minister of Education also take the lead. Why? Labor minister, you know, would stand back and not to even take a lead in that discussion, because it is within the purview of the Minister of Education to take a lead in this discussion. And so when you are getting, back and forth, they were going back and forth between them and others, that was not necessary at all. Government that is not out clearly, you know, to discuss with a very responsible union, to say, in resolving the labor crisis in our educational system.
Okay, Prof, before we go on the commercial, I would like you to listen to something that was said by the Minister of Education. I'll quote him word for word. He says, government and ASU have no option than to continue talking until our universities are reopened to students who clearly are the principal victims of the seemingly unending strike. He went further to say, in these circumstances, therefore, all councils and senates of our universities are enjoined to rise up to their responsibilities. Now, I'd want to pause there and ask the question, what are the responsibilities of councils and senates in this situation? That's the first question. The second one, he went further to say, we must together continue to work to restore our public universities to where they are in the 60s and 70s. And then he says, as the most important officers in our university system, pro-chancellors and vice-chancellors must demonstrate more commitment to ending the ongoing strike. And this is where it became very interesting. Is it the duty of the vice-chancellors and pro-chancellors to ensure that they do all they can to show commitment and end the strike? Or is it government who's supposed to be discussing with ASU to see how they can satisfy some of those demands and perhaps reach an agreement so the strike can be called off?
Well,
If you can just say a word or two in the next 2 minutes before we go on the commercial.
Yeah, for me, it is not the sole responsibility of the federal government to do so. And so, of course, while the federal government can provide the funding, approvals for all the funding, but they also need the support of the management of these institutions in charging them, you know, to rise up and all that.
Probably, in what way? In what way, Prof, can they rise up? What in this case, what can pro-chancellors and vice-chancellors do?
What can they, you know, intervening? These are people that have a lot of respect. Politically, you know, pro-chancellors are also, you know, having some kind of politics. They have politics to also influence both ways, the federal government side and the and then the managers of the institution being the vice-chancellors. And so charging them would be, for instance, they set up a committee, even though I don't agree with that the 2 weeks of sitting down to do what we already know the problem. So for me, they also have their own contribution to make in terms of workable solutions to this problem. And so anybody would suggest that charging them would mean directing them to open this. In fact, if they try into one hand, you know, they will see the backlash. That cannot also work. That they tried it sometimes, several times, but never worked. And I don't think that any responsible and responsible investor administration will try that now.
All right, Prof.
I don't see that.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go on a short commercial. When we return, we'll continue with the conversation. Just stay on the line for us. Thank you very much. 92.39 GeoInfo. Drop your comments and questions 0809-030-6416. The big question we're asking, the meeting between the government and ASUU yesterday. Now, if the problem is with ASUU, why is government meeting with VCs? We'll find out more when we return.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
So, if the problem is with ASUU, what is the need for the meeting with the VCs and pro-chancellors? In some corners, you hear talks of what's the government trying to achieve? Is it even possible for VCs to perhaps academic activities should resume? Well, my guest, Professor Kenneth Nweke, has said they can't try that because they've tried that one time and it wouldn't end well. And it's not an option. He also highlighted the fact that as a VC, you're first a member of the union before you became a VC. And one day you are going to leave that position and you return back to activism. And what happens then? That's where we are. We don't really have a lot of time, so I'll just quickly get back to my guest and wrap things up here. Thank you very much, Prof, for staying patient and waiting for us on the line.
Thank you.
Because of the limited time we have, I just ask you one question and so we can move on to our callers. We know that the strike has lingered for over 6 months. Whatever the government is seeking to achieve with the meeting it has had with pro-chancellors and VCs is not yet very clear because it doesn't, except they say it's aimed at trying to end the strike. But we've discovered that we have some institutions still considering having post-UTME exams. We still have JAM organizing exams for students, and we know we already have about two, if not three, batches of a year one students in various institutions. What's the rationale behind that?
Andy, the university system is structured that in such a manner that if one set of universities is lagging behind. The system moves on like a moving train. Of course, you have private universities that also run in the country. And then you have state universities that also operating in this country. Again, all those state universities ought to be part of the ASU and the demand, because let's tell ourselves the truth. Whatever demands that ASU is making today, all the universities, especially all the public universities, benefits, including the state universities that are not part of this such debate. But when it comes to end allowances and other salary issues and all that, those are within around the federal university. And I think that that's where the issues come so strong, you know, between or the dichotomy in terms of or that kind of what I call it, bacchanizing the unions and the interest between the federal universities and the state universities.
Okay.
Especially when the state universities are not doing any kind of allowances, so to say, and then when they also pay their salaries and all that. So for what the federal university lecturers are asking in terms of the end allowances and all that, quite different from what the state universities lecturers have and all that. And so in that regard, the visitors use their mic, and then this has resulted in the bastardization of the union and the union interest, you know, to say. But ordinarily, whatever they're asking in terms of revitalization of the university, I tell you, without what ASU has been doing over time, these universities will have gone into extinction. Because talk about tech from go to the special institution, especially the state universities, you will see tech from. And where is it coming from? Even in funding research and all that. It is what ASU is doing, or what ASU has done in the past, and what it's doing today, that the state universities are providing. Probably the business one fight, and then at the end that the state universities enjoy whatever labor that these ones are doing today. But that's another conversation, a conversation for another day. But the fact remains that as it is today, you know, in Nigeria, the efforts that are being made in terms of revitalizing the institution are quite understandable. But again, when we have a responsive and responsible government, wouldn't have allowed this strike to have taken this, you know, turn. It's now that they are coming out clearly with what offers that they have made to ask to the public. I mean, it's now becoming very clearly as to what government is offering and what ASU is not also accepted. And then at the end of the day, for goodness sake, whatever ASU is asking today cannot be granted 100%. Anybody who says that, then the president is not, you know, is not working with his head, correct? As far as I'm concerned, even if ASU is asking for all the things today, ASU does not or should not expect that government will grant all of them. But at least reasonably, they should come to a point where, you know, the managers of these institutions who understand better, you know, the feelings of these ones, can come in to say, okay, if we can do this, we can do that, including no work, no pay thing that we're talking about. That one is can never be substantiated, because whether a lecturer is teaching or not, is engaged in research and community services. And that's part of the work of the lecturer. And so if you say because it's not teaching, you're not paying, then you're making a mistake. Again, if we have that is 1, 2, 3 that we have today, you know, as it is in public university, of course, when they come back, it is also, if we force on them to also, you know, take these responsibilities, it doesn't matter, and they must say them, so don't work for this thing. And never work. And I'm sure that the federal government is trying to do saving device by setting up a committee. You understand? So that in the future, you know, they will see a soft landing in terms of that policy. But it's not taking them to anywhere. But again, like I said, you know, those examinations must go up. UTME must go on, because there is other institutions, including the state ones and the private ones. And so they cannot say because these federal ones are lagging behind, and at least that they cannot move forward. No, nobody, you don't expect anybody to, you know, to keep the system at a standstill and wait for you.
All right,
of course,
prof.
So these ones are not wrong. So the only thing is that because that you have a lot of bonding on the lecturers when they come back to the classroom, because whether you have that is 1, 2, 3, or A, B, C, D,
they must clear this one. And again, the problem with analysis is how will they clear this one? It means that people will rush into and rush out knowledge and all that. And a lot of corrupt practices will come in and all that. And that's why we now get this garbage out. You know, government must. It
would
be very circumspect, you know, in
all right, Prof. Thank
but you. Again, thank you. Understand that government cannot grant them 100%.
All right, Prof. Thank you very much
in their demand for
your time and for making our time for us. Thank you once again. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
All right, so our guest, Professor Kenneth Nweke, said quite a lot, spoke extensively there. Well, the exams must go on, these things must go on. And remember, many have confused ASUU and school management to be the same thing. It's not really the same thing, even though some lecturers are members of ASUU, but then you get appointed to be a VC. It said only for a pro-chancellor, you really may not necessarily be a member of the union or anything. Anybody can't be a pro-chancellor. Well, the big question today is, after that meeting between ASUU, between the government, VCs and pro-chancellors, what should we expect? If the problem is with ASUU, why would the government be holding meetings with VCs and pro-chancellors? In fact, ASUU was not represented in that meeting as well. And come to think about it, when you hear the comments that were made by the Minister of Education, and this was the interesting part that got people talking on social media. He says, as the most important officers in our university system, pro-chancellors and vice-chancellors must demonstrate more commitment to ending the ongoing strike. What are pro-chancellors and vice-chancellors expected to do? What is government expecting them to do to end this strike? You can call us up on 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. Again, 0817-923-0003. Some already are saying perhaps the government is looking for a backdoor around this situation. Well, we cannot outrightly say that. It says the meetings are in efforts to end the strike. But then, what should VCs do? Why would the mantle of this whole issue be shifted to vice chancellors and pro chancellors? What role can they play in this? On WhatsApp, we have a few messages. This one says, now federal government is putting it to ASUU, not pleading with them. This is why I had always insisted ASUU never bends to the federal government, so they aren't taken for granted. They have billions and zillions of dollars to dash to other countries, yet no money to tackle things of immense importance in the country they govern. ASUU, stick to your decisions and let's see if government won't turn over a new leaf. Emmanuel Sogwe sent in that message. This one says, please. Good morning, Bomas, fine country. It is most regrettable that this ASUU strike has lasted 7 months and yet we are discussing who's to blame, who the blame should go to instead of fixing the problem. Federal government has not placed any value in our public universities. A responsive government will at any time make sure that its universities meet global standards of education to attract foreign students. Good morning. Anene Kenechi from Aba says, I think the media are rising up to their responsibilities by asking government the relevant questions. Enough of all these interviews, ASUU reps. ASUU demands are well known. When will the media begin to invite government ministries so that the people will ask them these questions? I'm pretty sure we've heard some things that Adamu has said. When the media gets the time to, the media has always done its best to invite them, and we hear what they say as well. In fact, one major confusion now would be what was said by the Minister of Education, Adamu Adamu, as regards to the percentage of salary increase, and then what was also said by the Minister of Labour and Employment with regards to salary issues as well. Ima is calling from Ebonyi. Good morning, Ima.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
The issue of ASUU and government handed over to the chancellors and pro-chancellors. I am not happy over that, because during the presidential parliament period, different politicians brought 100 million naira and bought presidential primary nomination papers or forms, now showing us that they have billions. in the account, because if someone does not have billions, the president cannot bring out 100 million to buy a paper. But common to bring 200 billion naira and give the ASO and the university lecturers of this town, it's difficult for them. The issue is that they have intention to ridicule the educational system of this country. Then the pro-chancellors and the vice-chancellors, now they are handing over to, can any of them bring 100 billion from their teaching work? We have kept quiet, and those that are stealing billions and trillions of naira are playing with the Nigerian educational system. It is unfortunate.
Ima, thank you very much. Good news from our three. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, my brother, man. It's a quick one. I think that the Minister of Education did not do a mistake. After meeting with ASU and they deliberated, from what I watched on the TV, he called the pro-chancellors and vice-chancellors to brief them. From what I understand is that he's briefing them to the extent they have gone. That is, they've given 23.5% increments to all lecturers, and then to the professors, 35% increment too. That they cannot meet up that, which ASU is demanding 50 or 100%, that they cannot meet up with that. And again, too, one of the major concerns ASU was talking about is the issue of non-payment for since they are not working. And after that pushing, the federal government said they will not pay. But I think they've set up committee among the pro-chancellors and chancellors to go and look into that matter. If the federal government will pay for the work not done, or they will not pay. And I see positive as requests from there. And I see positive transfers too that will come out from there in 2 weeks' time. So why instead of killing the Ministry of Education, let us give them benefit of doubt, knowing that the federal government would have approved 1 or something billion naira already for them. So let us watch how it goes. If you ask me,
okay.
I believe that the call of strike is in due time. Lecturers are coming back to work.
All right, good news. Thank you for mile three. We got that one. On WhatsApp, Everest on Wusaka says, ASU leadership is acting a script. This person here says, and they will be exposed soon. This one says, recent communications of ASU, the federal government has noticed that the union has gone political and are hinging their demands with political undertone. Says the government has gone to those that are purely academias. Joe from Port Harcourt. I'll take one more message, already out of time. This one says, federal government is toying with... federal government is toying with us. You did not. Oh, okay. All right. That's the last message I can take. We have to draw the curtain here. Thank you very much for your time. Jude is coming up next with Hello Port Harcourt. Good morning. My name is Ifeanyi Andrew.